And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Everybody, it's Tuesday night again. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and you know what that means. It's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, again, welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. Remember, like I say every week, you can interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. I try to keep an eye on that. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. My first guest tonight is Scott Sturgill. Scott Sturgill is a U.S. congressional candidate in Florida's 7th District. Scott Sturgill serves as the CEO of Durable Safety Products. He's built a very successful safety company that has employees locally and throughout the USA. He became involved in politics after seeing firsthand how high taxes and red tape impact entrepreneurs. Sturgill is focused on removing government barriers to private sector job creation, economic growth, cutting government spending, improving healthcare, running government with a business mentality. Gee, sounds familiar, Scott. Kind of sounds like our commander in chief. He's a fourth generation Seminole County resident, and he and his wife and two daughters reside in Sanford, Florida. You can check him out at scottsturgillforcongress.com. I've got it linked on the show page after the show. Everybody go there, check him out. Maybe you want to donate or help with the campaign if you're in the area. Do so. Scott Sturgill, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tammy. Appreciate you having me on tonight.
Well, it's great having you on. I want the listeners to get to know you a little bit. Even though I'm in Oregon and it's being produced out of California and you're in Florida, we understand elections have consequences, and they don't just have consequences in a given state. As we're looking at the gridlock that seems to be gripping Washington right now with problems in the House and then the big problems in the Senate, every seat we have in the House there is vital. Every seat we have in the Senate is vital. So this is pretty darn important. Wanted to ask you, fourth generation Seminole County resident, so your family settled there when? In the early 1800s?
Yeah, it was a long, long time ago. I'm 37, it's been a long time. I don't know exactly when it was, but yeah, we are fourth generation. You know, very blessed to call Central Florida home. You know, so we love living here. You know, I enjoy raising my two daughters here. With my wife of almost 15 years. So March 1 will be 15 years for us. And
oh, good
we've
for
been
you.
Very blessed. Yeah.
That's fantastic. You're a Republican, and I always like people as they get to know whoever I'm interviewing. I want them to know the worldview, get a feel for the person, and especially candidates. That's really important. Were your folks Republicans and conservative?
So yeah, so my folks are Republicans. My grandparents were Republicans. Pretty much our whole family is all Republicans. You know, so they're very conservative. We're a very conservative family. I'm probably one of the more risk takers in the family, given that I'm an entrepreneur. You know, as entrepreneurs, we take risk every day by starting businesses, creating jobs.
Yes.
You know, versus working for a corporation where you're a W-2 employee. You know, I'm a 1099 employee, so every day my sales start at zero for my company, and I'm responsible for 43 employees and their families. So that's a pretty big burden that we carry every day, but I think that's what gives us an edge up into running for Congress is majority of the electeds have never run a business. They've never signed the front of a paycheck. They don't understand what it's like to deal with burdensome government regulations and how that affects the daily life. Most of our electeds can only talk about it in theory. And unfortunately, that makes them then vote based on their next election versus actually holding the conservative principle values that they all tell us they have when they're running for office. But for me, it's not about that. It's about, again, fixing Washington once and for all, putting some long-range planning in supporting our president. And, you know, I think it's just phenomenal that we have finally a businessman in the presidency, you know, who is doing exactly what he says. And he may not be the most politically correct, but you know what? We didn't hire him to be politically correct. We hired him to get the job done.
That's absolutely right. Let me ask you, let's compare notes a little bit here. Was he your first choice going into the primary season?
No, my first choice was actually Marco Rubio, because I've known Marco for a number of years. He's our Florida senator. And when he said he was getting in the race, you know, he had asked for our support, and we said, absolutely. And of course, no one expected Donald Trump to get in the race. But we're very loyal. So Marco got in the race. He was running good. And then, of course, things changed. And, he lost the primary. But when he lost the primary, then, Trump, we put all of our efforts in behind, helping get Trump elected, because our district, Florida Congressional 7, is one part of what's better known as the I-4 corridor district. So you will always hear about the I-4 corridor during the presidential cycles, because you got to win the I-4 corridor. That kind of helps decide the country at that point for the White House.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, that Tuesday in November 2016 was kind of spine tingling. It was so amazing what happened there. And I, like you, Trump was not my first candidate. Everybody that listens to me knows that. I'm a conservative gal, and Trump hadn't been proven that way. I liked his business, the way I read The Art of the Deal back in the day, and I thought it was fascinating. And I love the mindset of somebody that can make a go of it at business. And like you, I always thought we need somebody with some understanding of economics and business in the White House. I thought that would be great. But it wasn't until I realized, hey, this is a binary thing going on here. We've got Hillary Clinton on one side. We've got Donald Trump on the other. We all knew what we'd get with Hillary. She wanted everything I didn't. She was not for a big, strong military. She was for open borders. She was for Planned Parenthood all the way. Everything I could think of, she was the polar opposite of me. And I knew I could trust her to remain the polar opposite of me. So as I looked at Trump, I thought, well, he's for a strong military. He loves the country. He wants national security and sovereignty. Everything I could think of, I thought, if he does any of that, if he gets in a good person on SCOTUS, it would be tremendous having him in there. So I hedged my bet, and I voted for him because I could not vote for Hillary, and I could not waste a vote. And here we are. And like you, Scott, he is keeping his promises, and I'm just pleased as can be. So when I saw your website and your platform, you echo a lot of the things that Trump is doing now. You're a businessman. You want to help small business, because small business, by and large, helps the deplorables, the everyday, the normal Americans across this country.
Yeah, I mean, again, Trump, what made Trump so great is he touched on the subject that most people are actually talking about, at night in their homes. He touched on those subjects. Whereas, look, we knew what we were getting with Hillary. Unfortunately, we didn't know the extent of what we were getting with her, with all the collusion behind the scenes, and her work with the FBI and all the other agencies to kind of dig up the dirt on Trump. But again, I can't imagine where our economy would be had she gotten in. Yeah, I don't think we'd have seen this record-breaking stock market that we're all seeing. I mean, I know even the Democrats I know are pretty darn happy that their 401ks and their retirement accounts are actually up. So it's hard to argue with a guy who has owned a lot of success and is actually in the economy's responding to it. Now, sure, we've had the last few days, the market pulled back a little bit, but I think we kind of all realists expected it would have to pull back at some point. But today was kind of bounced back over 500 points or almost 500 points, I believe. Yeah, the market bounced back. So I feel very good about the economy. I love the fact that Donald Trump is a huge supporter of our military. I mean, yeah, I think we've seen the North Korea conflict start to scale back a little bit because they understand that he is not joking around. There is no line in the sand, that's going to move, like our last administration.
Yeah, the red line.
he's very serious. I mean, I think he showed everyone how serious he was when he fired off the missiles in Syria. Look, we've got the military power to do it, and we're going to protect our allies, and we're going to protect the innocent people. and it's not going to be politically correct the way we do it.
Absolutely. Scott Sturgill, your issues page, it's very succinct, and I wanted to get into something a little bit. I thought this was, it's kind of different, but I don't know if everybody out there has done so, but they should read the 2016 Republican platform. It is possibly the most conservative Republican platform ever. It's very, very good. I encourage everyone to read it, and I want to read just a little bit from it. And at the beginning, it states, this is very cool, "We dedicate this platform with admiration and gratitude to all who stand strong in the face of danger so that the American people may be protected against it. The men and women of our military, of our law enforcement, and the first responders of every community in our land, and to their families." Wonderful dedication. And now the preamble, and then I'll stop and we can discuss this, but the preamble goes, "We believe in American exceptionalism. We believe the United States of America is unlike any other nation on earth. We believe America is exceptional because of our historic role, first as refuge, then defender, then as exemplar of liberty for the world to see. We affirm, as did the Declaration of Independence, that all are created equal, endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We believe in the Constitution as our founding document. We believe the Constitution was written not as a flexible document, but as our enduring covenant. We believe our constitutional system, limited government, separation of powers, federalism, and rights of the people must be preserved uncompromised for future generations. We believe political freedom and economic freedom are indivisible. When they are separated, both are in peril. When united, they are invincible. We believe people are the ultimate resource and that the people, not the government, are the best stewards of our country's God-given natural resources. As Americans and as Republicans, we wish for peace, so we insist on strength. We will make America safe. We seek friendship with all peoples and all nations, but we recognize and are prepared to deal with evil in the world. Based on these principles, this platform is an invitation and a roadmap. It invites every American to join us and shows the path to a stronger, safer, and more prosperous America." Scott Sturgill, I know that you espouse a lot of the things that's in that platform, and one of them is the downsizing of government, including excessive regulation.
Yes, as a business owner, sure, we deal with regulations every day. We import a lot of product into the country, that we then send out through our distribution channels where we sell product in all 50 states. So the burdensome regulations that are out there for businesses it's uncalled for. And I totally support the administration's position of eliminating, I think it's 22 regulations for every new one that the Congress wants to bring in. So again, we need to get rid of the regulations because that's going to help spur more business. If it's easier to do business, people are going to, without burdensome regulations, people are going to do more business. Again, that's what makes business prosper. That's one of the best economic drivers you can put in place.
Yes, I love that. And I like that you're verbalizing this. I wish that every Republican candidate would hit this and hit it hard and reinforce the fact that this is what the left, the progressives, the socialists will not tell you. They say, this is a tax cut for the rich. This is just for the rich. Call them on that. Call them on the carpet, because it's not the rich we're talking about so much as companies, small and large business owners, etc. They are the people, they are the organizations and the entities that hire people. They're the ones that give everybody jobs. And we've got to get away from this mentality that envies anybody that may have a little bit more than us. We ought to be applauding everyone's success and trying to emulate it and have success of our own. There should be no mentality of envy in this nation. I'll be back with my guest, congressional candidate Scott Sturgill. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robarguns.com. I talk about them every week. proud to have them as a sponsor. I help them out with some social media things. Occasionally, I have the opportunity to write for them or to go down and visit and shoot on the range. Let me tell you, there is a reason Robar is so trusted by so many of my friends. Included amongst those friends are law enforcement military members, even special forces military members, and they deserve and demand superlative firearms with the best, most durable finishes and customizations. So if you're looking to buy a custom rifle, pistol, shotgun, or you want to give your older firearm new life, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
The 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
This is Tammy Jackson. I am back with my wonderful guest, Scott Sturgill. If you're just joining the show, Scott Sturgill is a Republican, a U.S. congressional candidate in Florida's 7th District. And as you told us before the break, Scott, that's the, what did you call it, the I-4 corridor?
It is better known as part of the I-4 corridor district, which is absolutely necessary for anyone who wants to win the White House. You got to have the I-4 corridor district.
Yeah, and we heard about it on election night 2016. I'm sure you were sitting there like I was watching the results come in. And when Trump won Florida, my mouth was open. When he got some of the great late states, I was amazed. And then when Pennsylvania, when all these different states came in, it was just phenomenal. It really was. But they talked a lot about the I-4 corridor. I've heard about it a lot, and that's where you were. During the break, I'll let everybody in on this. You got to be able to go with the flow sometimes when you have a show like this, and this is interesting. So you're obviously a Second Amendment guy, and we were talking guns, since one of my sponsors is Robar Companies, they're robarguns.com, and great, great friends of mine in Arizona. seriously, if you get to Arizona, Scott, if you went to the company, they'd probably take you out to the range and let you shoot some of their guns that are just phenomenal.
Well, I think you actually convinced me to buy one. You did such a good testimonial during the break. I think I have to go out there and buy one. And but since they are, you know, former members of the military, you know, again, I love to, you know, love to sponsor and buy from companies who are, you know, military owned or service member owned. You know, again, I love buying where we can and keeping the dollars at home.
Exactly, exactly. Support Americans, support our military, absolutely love it, and it is veteran-owned. And yeah, I was talking to you during the break about the Polymar 15, which has polymer upper and lower. This is like an extended commercial, but they're a sponsor. I can do this if I want, and they're good friends, too, and since we love guns. And yeah, I have a lot, I know a lot of men and women, because if you need a semi-auto, an AR-15 platform, you know how much weight that can be to pack it around. And this thing coming in, two of the models are sub 5 pounds, right at 5 pounds. And they've got a sub 0.5 inch MOA easily. So these are phenomenal guns and rifles that they put out. Anyway, to get back to Florida's 7th District and you being the congressional candidate, I talked about the GOP platform, the 2016 platform, which is a phenomenal platform, and it's got six sections: restoring the American dream, a rebirth of constitutional government, America's natural resources, government reform, great American families, and America resurgent. One thing I see on your website is that you are very concerned about our military and the VA. I was going to ask you, do you have military members in your family, Scott?
I do. So both of my grandfathers served in World War II. And then my brothers actually, one served in the Air Force, one served in the Army. Unfortunately, I was not able to qualify for the Army from a physical standpoint. I'd already had a few knee surgeries by the time I had gotten out of high school, and this was pre-9/11. So at that point, we didn't need everyone we could get into the military. And so unfortunately, the physical qualification I couldn't get through, but, I'm a big supporter of the military, having gone through the VA system the last few years with my grandfather, one of my grandfathers who's a World War II veteran. He's 94. And just seeing how atrocious and seeing the bureaucratic red tape, just to get him like an electric scooter so that he can get around a little bit easier, and the hoops that they would want him to jump through, everything from going to see a physical therapist to even wanting him to go see a psychiatrist. Because they're concerned about what his psychiatric evaluation would be if he got an electric scooter. And we're just talking about those little scooters that you go down the street on.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's kind of the burdensome regulations. And it got to the point where my wife and I finally just said, you know what, enough's enough. You know, we've been fortunate to, you know, make a good living. We'll just pay for his medical care out of our own pockets and avoid the VA system. But we're fortunate that we can do that. Not every family has that opportunity. The VA, sure, does some really good things, but they have more bureaucrats in their agency, as we've seen, you know, what's happened in Arizona and the other sites.
Right.
You know, whereas they don't have enough clinical people to handle, you know, the amount of World War II veterans and the Vietnam veterans and Iraq War and Afghanistan War veterans. They should not be in the hospital business. We need to make sure that it's easier for our veterans to get the care they need closer to home, and we can do that through the private marketplace. Similar to, you know, basically giving our veterans an insurance card and letting them go to the doctor of their choice or the facility of their choice that's close to home. You know, these hospitals, these 167 hospitals that the VA operates, are very expensive to operate. And they are not staffed adequately. Not to say there's not good care there. I mean, there is good care at the VA. The problem is they were just so overworked. And when you have two-thirds of the 360,000 Veterans Affairs employees being management or non-clinical, that's a problem. You know, so we need to go ahead and get this problem fixed once and for all. And that's going to take some strong leadership, you know, in the Congress to support the president's platform and get it done. And, you know, for me, again, I'm fortunate that we have a very good business that operates extremely well. And
right.
You know, we can go in there to the Congress. And if that makes us a one-term representative, that's okay. Because at the end of the day, it's about going there and fighting for, you know, the American dream. It's about fighting for our veterans and our military, making sure that they have everything that they need, because they are doing the most important jobs out there for us. They are protecting our country and our freedoms.
Absolutely. Let's talk just a little bit here. The Democrat incumbent, Stephanie Murphy, has raised $1 million for her campaign, but you have raised a respectable $308,000 plus. And if people know about this stuff, the incumbents always have a lot. The party can give some money, et cetera. So there's a lot in the coffers there. But one of the things that was interesting to me, Republican John Mica, he held the seat from at least 2002 until he lost to Murphy in 2016, and he lost 48% to 51%. Prior to that, he won by almost double digits. What in the world happened, Scott Sturgeon?
So what it was is Stephanie Murphy became a Democrat a few months before she actually filed to run for Congress. She was actually an MPA prior to that. Then she was handpicked and was heavily financed by Nancy Pelosi and George Soros and some other Democratic sources to the tune of about $7 million. And John Mica, who's a great man, was in office since 1992, served 12 terms, was just a good man who worked hard for his district every day in, day out, whether it's election year or not. And they ran a total negative campaign on him, full of a lot of lies and just a lot of untruths. But, you know, of course, we expect that from the Democratic Party. And so they outspent him by, you know, several million dollars and were able to take advantage of this anti-incumbency wave that we saw in 2016. So, again, as a businessman and as an outsider, I just finally said, enough's enough. And my wife finally told me after yelling at Fox News, you know, repeatedly saying, why can't we get anything done in the House here? She said, honey, I think you either need to put up or shut up at this point. And so she can never tell me, you know, that I didn't listen, because, you know, so Tracy, I said, be careful what you ask for. I said, because, you know, if we go into this race, we're going all in. It's the top five national race because it is the I-4 corridor. And so we're prepared. We've put in over $100,000 of our own cash. We're prepared to put in a lot more. But we've been very blessed with people's prayers and their contributions throughout the country. We're getting money from Washington State. We're getting money from the Northeast, Texas, you know, everywhere throughout the country. We're getting money. And it's a very humbling process, you know, for people to have that faith in us. And whether they're sending us $10 or $2,700, it's a very humbling process. And we're just, you know, we appreciate and we're gracious, you know, for everyone's contribution to help us take this seat back.
Fantastic. If you just are tuning in, I have been talking for the last half hour to Scott Sturgill. You can check him out at scottsturgillforcongress.com. He's a Republican. He's a conservative on the I-5 corridor down there, Sanford, Florida, I believe. We need to get him into Congress. I want to implore everybody, go to the website, see what you can do to support him. As he said, contribute monetarily, pray for him, volunteer for him, whatever you can do. And Scott Sturgill, it's really great getting to know you a little bit. If I can be of any help, you do be in touch. I did work on a U.S. congressional campaign, and I'm always eager to give any kind of suggestions or help or what have you. So let's stay in touch, and I'll have you back sometime.
Great. Tammy, thank you so much for having me on, and we will definitely take you up on your help to help us knock on doors. You know, it's a great program in the middle of the summer. Come on down here and sweat a little bit with us.
There you go. You got a deal. Take care, my friend.
Take care. Thank you.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with another U.S. congressional candidate, this one from the other side of the country, down near San Diego. His name is John Horst. Don't go anywhere. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com. HannahComputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's HannahComputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Welcome back. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show here on the 405, and now I'm joined by my guest, John Horst. John Horst is a Republican U.S. congressional candidate in California's 52nd district. John is a cybersecurity engineer with over 20 years' experience helping civilian and military leaders succeed with secure, cutting-edge information technology. One of four children of a Navy family, John was raised in San Diego and I believe still lives in that area. And this is some interesting points of fact. Information system security manager, John manages cybersecurity compliance for a joint tactical data link product used by the Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force to provide tactical situational awareness to troops in the field. Cybersecurity software engineer, John supported software development efforts for Navy personnel and equipment readiness reporting and is recognized as a Pacific Fleet subject matter expert for U.S. Navy equipment readiness reporting. Check him out at johnhorstforcongress.com. I've got it linked on the show page, but wait till after the show. You want to hear what he has to say live. Very interesting background, John Horst. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Tammy, thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues you're passionate about. But first, you're from that area. You're a Navy brat.
Yeah, I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I don't think I was even two yet when my dad moved the family out here to San Diego. My dad went to Marquette University on a Navy scholarship, took a commission as an officer, and gave 23 years to the United States Navy. Most of our time was out here. I think I went through second through fifth grade on the East Coast, but pretty much I'm as close to being a San Diego native as you can be without actually having been born here.
My goodness. You know who else is a Navy brat? I'm sure that you know who Michael Ramirez, the political cartoonist, is.
Uh-huh. Yes.
His dad was in the Navy and met his mom in Japan. So he said, yes, I am Hispanic and Japanese. And people look at me and say, what in the world are you? You know? But he is very, very pro-military, a good conservative. And I've had him on a couple times. He's become a friend. And people thought, aha, no wonder he's such a conservative. Having the military background and a strong nuclear family, it tends to lend more of a conservative background, I think.
Yeah, I think what you end up realizing the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make. And you end up appreciating why it's so important that we be smart about our money in terms of being fiscally responsible and conservative, so that we're able to fund the very first responsibility of the federal government, and that is the common defense.
Right, right. And I've done a lot of tutoring and even some teaching of homeschooled teenagers, and some of the teaching in the area of government, politics, et cetera. And I would tell them, I would make them read the Constitution and study it and say, look, if you read this document, you see that the main task of the federal government is national security. And
correct.
There's very little else that they're really supposed to interfere with. Some basic infrastructure, some basic things here and there. But what they look like now was never the intent of the founders or our founding documents. So when I hear about people like you running for office that want to shrink the size of government, get it back proportionately. It's supposed to be we the people. It's not supposed to be you the government. And
yeah.
And we are the government. Something that's really important to you is tax policy and tax reform, John Horst. Your state of California, like my native state here of Oregon, is run by big government loons who have never seen a tax they didn't love. So what in the world do you think you can do?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is, first of all, we've just won an exceptionally important victory with tax reform. And people, we're hearing stories of 3 million employees of a wide variety of companies are getting $1,000 bonuses. Now, do the math there for a second. 3 million employees getting a $1,000 bonus.
Yeah.
That is a $3 billion economic stimulus without a single government program. That is a huge victory. Now, I'm not going to pretend that there aren't things about the tax bill that we might go back to and look at. And I'll give you one example is the deduction for mortgage interest. They're capping that at $500,000. Here in San Diego, the average home would go for about $540,000, $550,000, and that's the median home price.
Yeah.
And so what I'd like to see us do is I'd like to see us tie that to the median home price at 2 times whatever that median home price is. So if you live in a relatively expensive community like San Diego, you're going to be able to deduct up to a little over $1 million mortgage, because it would be 2 times the median home price value. If you live in a much less expensive area, maybe $250,000 is the median, then it would be $500,000 would be the cap. There are ways to improve what we have, but legislation is not a one-off thing. Running for office is a one-off thing. You go, there's an election, you win or you lose. But legislation is not like that. Legislation, if you have more that you like and there is that you don't like, you vote yes. And then you wake up the next morning and you get to work to fix the things that you didn't like. And so a big supporter of the tax bill that we just passed. And then what I'm going to be doing in Congress, I'm going to go to Congress. I'm going to sit down with all of the California Republican congressional representatives. We are going to form the Cut California Taxes Caucus. And then every single November, we are going to partner with reform-minded Californians. We are going to select one issue, and we are going to put a ballot initiative together. Every single November, we are going to go to ballot with an initiative that will either cut California taxes or cut California's regulatory overreach. And we're going to do that every single November. And in Congress, we are going to put what I call the soft power voice of the office behind these initiatives. We're going to make California golden again, Tammy.
Wow. Wow. I love to hear what you're saying, because I tell you, I know what it's like here in Oregon, and we have had Democrats in our state house and in our governor's house for a few decades now, and it's not a pretty sight. And I've written about Oregon, and I know California's in the same boat, and we're just following a little bit behind, because I tell people in the nation, we aren't as large as California, but we are a large state. We have tremendous natural resources, as does California. We have tremendous hardworking people. We have rivers and ports and the ocean, and we have forests, a growing season, many of the things that California has. And yet, as of I believe in 2012, we were 47th in the nation economically, and that's because of Democrat governing. And everything mm-hmm. they've done has made Oregon not friendly to businesses. I know the same is happening and has happened in California, because I have a plethora of friends who are from your area, from Orange County, San Diego, like that, who have sold their homes and moved either to Arizona or Texas. And it's because uh-huh. of the economic situation in California, and they love California.
Yeah, Tammy, you know, I look at this, my wife and I have talked about it. We've talked about the possibility of moving. My son, my younger son, is going to be a freshman at Arizona State University next year. Barrett Scholar, you have no idea how proud we are.
Good for you.
And I look at this problem, Tammy, and, you know, I decide I can either walk or I can win. I would rather win. It's really a matter of deciding, are you going to walk away or are you going to stand up and fight? We can walk or we can win. My message to my fellow Republicans here in San Diego County is exactly that. We can walk or we can win. I say we go win.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, Scott Peters is the Democrat incumbent there, and you ran before in 2016. What did you mm-hmm. learn from that? I'll say one thing. Your website is great. And I told Scott, who was the candidate on in the first half hour, I previously was a social media marketing director for a U.S. congressional campaign. We were small, but we were mighty, and we accomplished great things with a stellar website and social media. So when I saw your website, I was very pleased with that. But I'll also offer my help to you all. So know that you've got a friend up here in Oregon that would like to help. But back to the 2016 campaign, what did you learn from that? What are you going to do different? A lot of times people don't understand that people get into office not usually on the first run. They usually
right.
have figure things out, try it again, and then they win.
That's exactly right. I am the type of person that if you try to tell me how to do something like this, it'll go in one ear and out the other. I have to just go do it. I have to make my own mistakes. And once I do it, once I've gone through it once, the term I like to use is I have a mental map. And now when you tell me, John, you should do this, I know where that fits. I know where that goes in my mental map, having done this once. It really, the first run was a learning experience. I put together a plan, I executed it, and I failed spectacularly. Now, when it's very much an entrepreneurial thing. The entrepreneurial spirit, there is no such thing as failure. You go out, you try. If you don't succeed, you wrap it up, you learn your lessons, and you go back out and try again. You show me an entrepreneur that is successful, and I'll show you a story of serial failures. you know, in the past, and they learn from each one of them. The first lesson I learned is, it's kind of a twist on a lawyer joke. The candidate who runs his own campaign has a fool for a campaign manager.
Yeah.
And I learned that. And so I have a campaign manager who is also very, very good with video and websites. And, you know, you really like what you saw on my website. And that's very much to his credit. Well, he shot and edited the video that's on my website. And so I've got him, really great help that he's giving me. My campaign consultant is out of New Orleans, veteran campaign operative working at the national level. He's out in D.C. rattling cages for me. And so I've got this absolutely spectacular team. I've got Jim Hickey, a social media guru out here in San Diego. And so put together this great team. And I think really that's the first lesson that I learned is you really have to have a team and everyone has to stay in their swim lane. And, you know, sometimes I have to put people in their box and tell them, you need to stay in your swim lane here. Your job is not to worry about the website. but that's leadership in any organization. You have to deal with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I think that's the principal lesson that I learned. I did two things wrong last time. The first is I ran a general election campaign for the primary. I'm not going to make that mistake again. And the second thing is I tried to run it all myself, and that was a huge mistake. Not making those mistakes. I'm the type of person that I'm not afraid to fail, and I'm not afraid to try. I'm not afraid to fail, and I'm not afraid to take responsibility. For having tried and failed. And you take responsibility for yourself. You don't point fingers. You learn your lessons and you go out there and do it again.
Yep.
And I'm enjoying it. I really am.
Fantastic. And that is the conservative way, by the way. Personal responsibility and accountability, absolutely conservative there. If you're just joining the show, I am speaking with John Horst. John Horst is a Republican U.S. congressional candidate in California's 52nd district. Isn't that primarily San Diego?
Yes, San Diego, Coronado, and Poway.
Okay. Basically,
those three incorporated cities. That is the district.
Okay. I did a little research and I was a little bit surprised because from what I can see from election stats, it said that California District 52 is comprised of 34% Democrats and 31% Republicans. I didn't expect that because I know that Orange County itself is very conservative, and I'm in Orange County a lot, and I had expected with Coronado and everything being there that it would be a little more conservative, but that means you really need to win over some libertarians, independents, and unaffiliateds.
Yeah, absolutely, and it really is a west to east sort of thing. Now, Coronado is very much a military town, so it tends to be red. That's a little island red there. But the beach communities tend to be blue. My community of Mira Mesa that I live in tends to be purple, and then Poway tends to be quite red.
Gotcha.
And when you take the district as a whole, you really have to be able to go out and speak meaningfully to the entire electorate, and that's really what I like about it.
We are not only
one of the most politically diverse districts, we're one of the most ethnically diverse districts and economically diverse districts. I like to say that if you walk out your front door and within 30 minutes you have not heard four languages, I don't know where you are, but you're not in my community. You go out, you're going to hear Vietnamese, you're going to hear Tagalog, you're going to hear Spanish, you're going to hear English, and then maybe two or three Chinese dialects where I live. And it's music to my ears, to be quite honest with you. I love everything about it.
Yep. And I've spent time down there somewhat. I've got some friends in Fallbrook. I've been down there. I was part of a movie called Ride the Thunder movie. Everybody that listens to my show knows what that is. It was a book first, and then it was required reading in the U.S. Marine Corps. And then it became a movie, and it was a docudrama about the Vietnam War from the U.S. U.S. Marine Corps point of view, pretty much. It's a fantastic movie that restored honor to our veterans that served there. And we had an event that went along with, there was a big Vietnamese rescue. I want to say it was something like the Four Winds or Frequent Winds or something. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a military endeavor, and they helped to get thousands of Vietnamese to San Diego after the Vietnam War. So we had a huge event down there at the time, and I believe it was on the Midway, and it corresponded with some other events down there. And I've been down there. I've toured the Midway. I love the area. I've stayed on Coronado Island, played a lot of tennis there. So it's a beautiful area. It really is. And it is very diverse, as you said. Now, you've got some things on your webpage I want to go over quickly where you talk about what you'd like to do. One bullet point, ensuring middle-class families can deduct the mortgage. We talked about that. Lowering corporate and pass-through taxes to help American business regain their competitive footing. And then fighting in California to retain Proposition 13, preventing a catastrophic increase in commercial rent for small business. I'm unfamiliar with Proposition 13. What is that?
Proposition 13 was passed back in the 70s, and it's interesting because it was past the last time we had this major run-up in home prices. And what was happening was property taxes were being recalculated as home prices were soaring. And it was hitting seniors especially hard because they're no longer out in the workforce earning an income, and their property taxes were soaring. They were losing their homes. And so what Prop 13 did was it capped the increase of property taxes on a year-to-year basis at 1%, I believe. And so you knew your property taxes were not going to go up year-to-year any more than 1%. And what they're trying to do now is they're trying to, the term we use for it is split roll. They're trying to say, okay, we're going to leave the residential property taxes alone, but we're going to revisit the commercial property taxes. Now, what will happen if they do that is commercial property taxes will be at the mercy of market and real estate inflation. And that's going to end up being passed, the property owners will pass that onto the businesses, the small businesses that rent commercial property. And those small businesses will end up going out of business or end up having to fire people because their rents will soar and they won't be able to keep as many people on their payroll. And so that's why in California, Prop 13 is really, for us as conservatives, it's sacrosanct because it is what enables you to know that as you pay down your mortgage, as you know, you buy a house, you pay down your mortgage, you're fiscally responsible, that you're not going to be subject to your property taxes soaring because of property value inflation that you absolutely have no control over. And it's just, it's a huge issue here in California, and we have to be vigilant to, you know, exercise every lever of political influence available to us, regardless of what level of government it's at, to protect that.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic to me because I understand. I've seen that happen. I'm one of these people that one of the things that always just fired me up was the whole inheritance tax. And this is another thing. I don't like how the left likes to cultivate a culture of envy amongst people. And when they say something is for the rich, I always cringe. And I think, you know what? What do you mean rich? And the people that say that are usually the Nancy Pelosi's that are worth millions and millions and millions. But people don't understand. It is the rich people, but usually they're talking about businesses and corporations. They're not talking about one kingpin somewhere sitting on a tower on a mountain that's just getting all the breaks in life. That's not it at all. But when they're talking about these tax cuts for businesses, they're the ones that give jobs to people. Poor people don't employ people. And when they talk about inheritance taxes, that's not just for Rockefellers, for heaven's sake. It's for everybody. When my grandma died, they had a farm and hundreds of acres, and trying to distribute that okay so we wouldn't be hit with taxes was a tough, tough thing. Involved a lot of hours with an estate planner, an attorney, an accountant, etc. And she was not a multimillionaireess. That was not the deal. But this is the way it works with family farms, with small family businesses, etc. I think that is a sin, an inheritance tax, where we're taxing people for properties and things that have already been taxed.
Oh, and been taxed many times.
Yes.
And that is a big part of the victory that we won is we're rolling.
Yes.
We're really starting to roll that back. But I want to, Tammy, I want to talk more about the larger ethos of the Democrats. The very last words of the First Amendment guarantee to us the right to petition government for the redress of grievance. This is what our politics used to be. The Democrats have turned our politics into the way that they just monetize our grievances. If they don't have a grievance, they don't have anything.
Right.
They are utterly bankrupt of ideas.
Yes.
They don't have any position. They don't have any public policy solution or answer if it doesn't arise from someone's grievance, whether it's the war on women or racial grievance or economic grievance. They are the party of grievances. They are grievance merchants. And if they're not able to monetize
their grievances. The victim mentality.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we've had enough of that. I really do. The Republican Party is changing. I think we're becoming, those of us who are, shall I say, theologically conservative are learning to be socially inclusive, and we're growing and we're changing, but we're not about grievance. We're not about victimhood. We are about freedom. We're about liberty. We're about
yes.
being able to go out and make the most of the opportunities that come your way and keep the government as much out of these things as we possibly can.
Absolutely. I say that a good remedy to that victimhood mentality is an attitude of gratitude. I was raised with that, being thankful for what you have. If you want more, well, then by golly, work hard. John Horst, it's been terrific making your acquaintance. I want to encourage everybody to go to your website and check you out and contribute and help or do whatever we can. Once again, folks, it's johnhorstforcongress.com. It's linked at the show page. And let's stay in touch, John, and see if there's any way I can help you out.
Tammy, thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. Ooh. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet.
measure and steal. Park here on the side of the street. Always tiptoeing, trying not to wake the beast. Oh, but here I come.